All right, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Amen. So we said this is a summative writing for what he taught in Acts 1:1-3. He taught about the kingdom of God. So it's a summative writing. All power is given to me in heaven and the earth. When you hear heaven and the earth, that is the temple, right? Right? All right. So that's the temple. That is God and man in one place. That is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God's plan is to create heaven and earth. But that's not for now. In verse 19, it says, go therefore and teach all nations. We said that word teach means to make disciples, right? The word teach them means to make disciples. And it's funny because a whole lot of people are asking God, what do you want me to do? You know, many people want to find out God's will on the earth. What is God saying today? You know, every believer is looking, what does God want me to do actually? Where does God want me to go? What will he have me do? But we've not even fulfilled the first will. He says, go and make disciples. Stop looking for what God is saying. Go and do what he has said. He said, go and make disciples. Oftentimes, when people start looking for God's will, is when they're about to get married. So they start, they know that one is a bit dangerous. Something like that. Even though it's not as dangerous as it sounds. They say, I must not pick the wrong bone. When you're not a butcher, why are you picking bones about? He said, my other half. But you are complete in Christ. Amen. Just saying. You know, so when you're about to get married, you start taking pictures, like five brothers' pictures. It used to be sisters. Brothers don't have issue. Most times, they already know what they want. But sisters, you know, because they have choices. You know, five pictures. Bro faith. Bro grace. Bro praise. Bro joy. Bro joy. Bro faith, bro grace, bro praise, bro goodness. Give me one fruit of the spirit. Bro patience. And so you go to the pastor. No, it can't be me. Because I just ask you, what are you doing with five people's pictures? Are you a ritualist? And so you say, you go to one prophet, one somewhere. Not you. And then they go and say, which one is God's will? And it's common sense. When the prophet asks, which one don't you even like? I said, this one, this pastor. This one is a pastor. Remove him. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor's wife, something like that. But you run to pastors, right? When something happens, you go to the pastor. Pastor, I need prayers. Pastor, I'm going through so. But you don't want to be a pastor's wife. Say, because they will be taking my husband's time. You are not a believer yet. Amen. All right. Why is this one still there? It's a mistake. Alright, so again, a lot of people look for God's will when they're about to marry. But if you have learned to just follow simple obedience in God's word, I don't think that would be difficult. I always put it like this. When you obey, it's easier to obey. When you follow, it's easier to follow. If you don't get what I just said now. It's easier to follow, to get another instruction from God when you have obeyed an instruction. It's easier to get a leading from God when you have obeyed a leading. Is that not the parable of the talent? So the one that has, more will be given. The one that uses his talent, more will be given. That's the parable of talent, and that's how God works. And so when you obey the Great Commission, go and make disciples of every nation. Go and teach all nations. Again, you will find it easier to now walk in all of God's will. So you yield more. Amen. So, when we follow God's word, we learn to yield more. You are more sensitive. So, what has he instructed? What is God's will? God wants you to preach. When we were starting our church some years ago, one of the things that God told us primarily is that nothing must stand in the way of the gospel. Nothing must stand in the way of the teaching of the gospel. And it's... For me, it's an oath. It's a covenant. We are not going to trade anything for the preaching of the gospel.
So if you know us too well in this church, you know that that's one thing we don't joke about. I will bend heaven and earth to see that we still go on outreach. Whether it's Christmas. And that's one of the things I like, the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Every Christmas, let's go out fishing. That's a beautiful thing to do. You cannot say because Jesus was born. Is that Christmas, yeah? You cannot say because Jesus was born, you not go and preach. As people are tearing up chicken, souls are being lost. Amen. So go and teach all nations. Go and teach all nations that God's will to raise disciples. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. So if you don't know God's will at all, say, God, show me your will. He's about to. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the eyes of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What will God have? He would have all men to be saved. That's God's will. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if that's not in your own calendar, if that's not in your own to-do list, then you're not doing God's will. You are not going to church. Church is not a social club. Where do you go to? I attend Glorious House Church. It's not a club. It's a place where we gather to strengthen one another to do God's will. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it is colorless. Sometimes it's even the last thing you want to do. Who doesn't get tired? There's no one. Hallelujah. I think that would be the lie, the most lie in the world. That you think that people wake up every day. I heard this somewhere. Someone said, it's going to be the lie of the century to think that people wake up every day and they go to work and they say, I'm going to give my best on Monday. And they go on Tuesday and say, I'm going to give my best. And they go on Wednesday and say, I'm going to give my best. I think I heard it in a football commentary. Yeah. And they go on Thursday and say, I'm going to give my best. He's going to get tired one day. Amen. So if boredom is not part of the things you plan for walking with God, then you're not ready. And the reason why I don't do it, sometimes it's boring. Exactly. Serving God is in routine. It's in a cycle. You keep doing it. The same thing. You hear God's word, you do God's word. You go back and hear God's word. Then you do God's word. Then when you don't know what to do, you go back and hear God's word. Then you do God's word. Then you go back and hear God's word. And when you have something that is challenging you and you ask for a solution, guess the solution? God's word. God's word, prayer. God's word, do it. God's word, prayer. God's word, do it. So you must set up yourself that for the rest of the year and for the rest of my life, I don't care how long it's going to take me, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. We're in a generation. The people laugh at those who have megaphones. Yeah. Someone is using megaphone on the street. You're laughing. He didn't get the gospel well. Shut up. You that you got the gospel well, why are you not teaching it? In fact, one of the tests, I don't think you should pastor at all if you have never preached in a bus. It's part of it's a public show. Call it whatever. I preach on Okada. Me and the Okada as he's riding. And I was praying to God that Biko, just don't drive me inside bush. Be saved or not be saved. Shall don't drive me inside bush. Amen. Maruwa, Korokwe, preach anywhere. Hallelujah. Not all this modern day Christianity. Christianity of glory. The only thing you do, glory, glory, Otan. As you are doing glory, demons are shouting glory with you. You have not taken time to preach. So say, are we not here for believers meeting? That is the essence of believers meeting. Every believers meeting, I told you, I've told you before, I've said this over the years. Every believers meeting has one aim. To strengthen you to preach more. When we come together and we go in the groups of four, we go in the groups of five. The aim is to embolden us. The aim is to strengthen one another, to comfort one another for the teaching of God's word. So believers meeting is not just somewhere we come to shout glory. It's somewhere we shout glory to the intent and to the end that we are all strengthened for the gospel. Say for the gospel. When they had a believers meeting in Acts 2, in Acts chapter 2,
When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a man rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there came a cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And we are all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like we are all. Amen. They are all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What is the next thing that happened after that? Peter rose up and 3,000 souls were saved. So you don't just have Holy Ghost meetings for Holy Ghost meetings' sake. You don't have Holy Ghost meetings to feel good. Say, as I demonstrated things of the Spirit, I just felt better. That's good. That's good because it's for comfort. It's to lift you up. But you see, it's to lift you up to the end that you can preach the gospel and win more souls. And let me say this. God is going to ask you. And you have to answer. Like the lawyers will say, you will not be able to take a fifth. You'll not be able to say, I don't want to say anything. You would have to answer, what did you do with the gospel? It's a question every one of us will answer. So the earlier you realize it is better. And guess what? It is good to serve the Lord when you are young. The psalmist says, it is good for a man to bear his yoke while he's still a youth. If you're on campus, start preaching. The chances are high that if you don't preach on campus, you will never preach the gospel, except God just arrests you. Some people, they arrested them on campus like their mother now. I'm pretty sure he didn't want to do any fellowship, but God arrested him. Learn to preach. If you don't know what to say, join those who know what to say. Let them follow those who know what to say. That's how everybody started, right? Come on. Is that not it? There was a time you were following Sister Judith. Even though you knew what to say, but you had to just follow. Was it Sister Judith? Was it Sister Judith? Yeah. Did you follow anybody? Who? Eh? Samaka. Okay. Did you follow anybody, Shola? I followed someone. 2006. I followed the person like this. I was preaching. That's how many years ago now? About 16. And I was preaching and I was looking. Okay. Even though I messed it up, the next person we now saw, he now said I should take it. I just started. If you don't want to be born. The person, so let me say it now. That's where everything is going to. He is asking me to teach the grace of the Lord that God, Jesus died for sin. I said, let me go to the end. This one I'm seeing. He doesn't want to listen. He's giving us attitude. I said, you were just born. All your life will be destroyed. The guy said, that's not the gospel. I said, oh, you know the gospel. Do you believe or not? Amen. Say, I live for the gospel. I'm strengthened for the same. All right, so he says, go and teach all nations. Teach them that I'm with you. So we said, that is the essence of believers meeting, right? We saw Acts 2. In Acts 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Everybody can read together. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with what? And the multitude of them that believed. So can you see that? So when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the result is that they will speak God's word with boldness. That is always the reason for believers meeting. To speak God's word with boldness. The gospel is the essence. In Acts 13, Acts chapter 13, can we read verse 2 together? I'll wait for you. Acts 13, can we all read verse 2 together? Everybody want to go? As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. So again, they gathered and they ministered unto the Lord. That word is, they were ministering to one another by the Spirit. As they ministered, the Holy Ghost said, that means someone spoke by tongues and interpretation, by inspiration, by prophecy. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work. So those are the utterances we hear in believers' meeting. It's not just, there's a decision you're about to make. Be patient. Something like that. It's not just God is with you. He's taking care of you. Good. But you see, the end intention of every Holy Ghost meeting is the gospel. If you take the gospel away from it, we have nothing to teach. We are not gathered here so that we can feel good about ourselves. We are not gathered here so that we can have just another meeting. Another meeting, rather. I don't care if we have meetings throughout the year or not. The reason for every meeting, believers meeting, camp meeting, reason for our songs, reason for every midweek service, the reason for Sunday service is to preach the gospel.
The reason why I'm teaching you about the temple, who you are, is so that we can preach more. I'm not teaching it so that you can feel better and say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's good. If you feel better, that's your bonus. But it's to the end that you now know that the temple has an obligation. Amen. So it's for the gospel. Say for the gospel. So if there's nothing that you have put in your head in this meeting, know that after Sunday, when we are done, the gospel must be heralded. When we are done on Sunday, the primary thing that must happen to you is that you are preaching more. Every Holy Ghost meeting leads to more preaching. So back to Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What will you teach them? That I am with you always. And we said, I am with you always is the temple. Because that is the intent of the temple. The intent of the temple is God with man in the same place. We said that was fulfilled in Christ, right? But was he only in Christ? Come on. I need responses. That was fulfilled in Christ. But was he only fulfilled in Christ? It was fulfilled in what? In the church. Who is this? Don't forget that the body is the one that said, he will raise this temple in 3 days. We saw that, right? So upon the resurrection, the church is also now the temple of the Lord. And that is God's plan from the beginning. To have fellowship with man, so he gave us his spirit. So we now are the temple of the Lord. We are now the place of worship. I'm not saying you are the object of worship. Any believer that says, whether you are a pastor or clergy or laity or whatever you are, and you receive worship. I don't know who you are. I don't know what to say. People are coming to you and they are bowing down. And they're touching your boots. You are not there, Papa. Papa. The funny thing is the people who are in their 30s, 40s, they're calling you Papa. And you say, yes. Papa. Yes. 32 years old. Papa. You cannot grow old. What would they now call you when you are 80? Amen. They're calling you Papa at 40. Voila. Amen. So the believer now, you now house the Holy Ghost. And we're going to look at scriptures, several scriptures, just to strengthen that conviction in our hearts. And then we yield to the Spirit of God. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. You know that song? I've got the Spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God. We don't have timid believers here. You sing like you mean it. Life of God in me. I've got the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. I want to hear it again. You've got the life.
I've got the life of God in me.
I've got the life. I've got life of God in me. I've got the Spirit of the Son of God.
I've got the Spirit of the Son of God.
I've got the life. I've
got the
life of God. He's living in me. He's living in me. He's living in me. The author of... Just speak for me. He's living in me. He's living in me. He's living in me. Play for me. I want to sing that song. Just the keyboard. He's living in me. He's living in me. He's living in me. The author of love. Eternal life. He's living in me. He's living in me.
He's living in me.
more times. He's walking through me. He's walking through. Daughter of love, eternal life. He's walking through me. He's walking through me. In the name of Jesus. He's walking through me. He's walking through me. He's walking through me. Okay, he's speaking through me. In the name of Jesus, he's speaking through me. The author of love, eternal life, he's speaking through. Where I am is where he is. He's speaking through me. He's speaking through me. Corinthians 3. So verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's talking to the church and he's talking to you. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17 now says, if any man defiles the temple, we're going to see that much tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to look at the obligations of the temple. Amen. We're going to look at the sacrifices and what the temple, what you have to do in the temple. All right. So he said, know you know that you are the temple of the Lord and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Let's start from verse 14. So we're going to read verse 14 to verse 20 together and let it make sense to you as you read. Want to go? By his own power. That your bodies are the members of Christ. And make them members of another Lord. God forbid. What? That joins the Lord is one body. For two, say the Lord, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without his body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And you are not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know you not that your temple is, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 2 Corinthians 6. Before 2 Corinthians 6. Can we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13? I'm going to read from verse 13 to chapter 5. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he will raise up Jesus, shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Verse 16. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, just like the temple. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can we chapter 5 verse 1 together? That's not everybody. Everybody wants to go. For we know that if our aha were dissolved, we have a building of God, and now it's not made with hands. Eternal. Amen. He says, even though if this tabernacle, he calls this body a tabernacle. If this tabernacle was destroyed, we have a building, a house of God, not made with hands. That makes sense now, right? Because the temple of Moses, the temple of David, the temple of Solomon, okay, David never had one. Temple of Solomon, the temple of Nehemiah, they were made with hands. This temple is not made with hands. It is crafted in the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. So we see that the believer is now the temple of God. Does that make sense? The believer is now the temple of God. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Sorry, who is the righteousness there? The unbeliever. Who is the righteousness? The believer, right? Just to be sure. So when we are saying, I'm the righteousness of God, don't think it's make boast. That's what the Bible calls you. All right. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Can we verse 15 to verse 18 together? Christ rebellion. And what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God? That's you. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore comes among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Amen. We are his sons and daughters. Amen. He dwells in us. So he's not in a mantle. He's not in a mantle. He's not in a bottle of oil mysteriously packaged as the Holy Ghost. He's not in white clothes. Something like that. He's not even in a building. He's not on any mountain. He's not in a building. The moment I held a meeting one time at Lutz, the new great hall, fairly big hall, yeah. And that was 2015. Was it 15? So it's 15. About 7 years ago. And I told them, I said, as precious as this meeting that we are, because we had people were worshiping and were falling under the power and had a great time. And I said, you know what? God is not in this building. Because we can leave this place now and they are going to have a birthday bash. What do they call it? Timama calls. I mean, is that not what it is? A 9 p.m. Timama calls. People that don't have mama. Mama will not call. Amen. You told mama you are going to VG. How will mama call? Amen. Is that you? Am I stepping on your toe? All right. Say, the mama calls. I said, we can leave this place, and as we are leaving, and we are rejoicing that we are blessed, people are entering, and they do the enter body. And you know what? Thunder will not strike. God will not say, where my presence was, where we just had edification. But they will sweep up every edification that we had remaining. They are going to sweep, pack it, pour inside those buildings. Because God doesn't stay in buildings. When Solomon built that temple, he said that in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8. You learning something? Teaching is what deepens our conviction in the Christian faith. The reason why a lot of people are washed to and fro there is because there's no proper teaching. You have not even soaked it in. You just know that we are Christians. God, Jesus is in our heart. You don't even understand it. You know, it's called mental accent. It's just somewhere in your head. Somehow, we are believers. And the end result will go to heaven. Something like that. Abi? If they tell you today that there's no heaven or hell, Would you serve God? I think I said that in one retreat, right? So someone comes and says, Jesus just made a public service announcement. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Someone said, I don't care if there's no heaven. Is there hell? See, forget the heaven. Is there hell? After that, there's no heaven. Is there still hell? There's hell. I worship you. So if there's no heaven and there's no hell, would you carry your Bible and leave this place right now? That just shows you that you're not serving the Lord. That just shows you. You might not even be born again. And it's not a big deal because you have people that have been attending church for 20 years and are not born again. I had a meeting one time. And after the meeting, the pastor came to me and said, do you know I was not saved? He has been pastoring for over 20 years. And he's attending church. Pastoring. He was in his 60s. When I was done with the teaching, he said, my friend. That's what he said. He said, my friend. Thank you. You know, I'm not saved. And I'm not born again. I'm not even a Christian. But you know what? He has been preaching. He has been teaching. Where we are going to write that one, I don't know. But wasn't saved. Where are we? Kings. All right. 1 Kings 8. So we said, God does not stay in buildings. Where is he? Come on, where is he? You sure about that? Okay. I believe you. In 1 Kings 8, God doesn't stay in buildings. Verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. He spread his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above and on the earth beneath, who keep covenant and mercy with your servant and walk before thee with all their hearts. And those that walk before you with all their hearts, who has kept with your servant David, my father, what you have promised him. Thou speaks also with your mouth, and you have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, thou shalt not fail thee a man inside to sit on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, O God of Israel, pay attention to this. And now, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray you, be verified. What you said to my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built. Yet you shall have respect unto your servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to my prayer, which your servant prayed before you today, that your eyes, verse 29, might be open towards this house night and day, even towards this place which you have said my name shall be there, that you may hearken to the prayer which your servant shall make towards this place, and to the supplication of your servant and to the people of Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, that you will hear in heaven your dwelling place, where you hear and forgive. So Solomon recognized that God was not in the temple. He says, just that when we pray, hear us. The Most High does not stay in temples made with human hands. We'll see that in Hebrews very soon. So he is not even in this building. You know how we can make him be in this building? We will now, by our own volition, we will now take the Spirit of God that is within us. We will now put him among us. You know, we can do that, right? We can take the Spirit of God that is within us, make it be upon us. Then the Spirit upon us will now put it among us. That's how we can now put God in this building. And it can happen. It can happen that we can have tangible power, such that even when we leave this place and someone else comes in, he still feels the presence of God. We can do it. But does God stay in the building? No. When we leave this hall, it's not the church hall, right? When we leave this hall, some other people can come and use it. God doesn't stay in the building. He doesn't stay in the mantle. He doesn't stay in an handkerchief. He doesn't stay in suits. He says, if I grab pastor's suits, are you a dry cleaner? What do you want to do with my suits? If I touch the hem of his garment, whose hem? Hope is not my own. He's not there. Let nobody deceive you. The Most High is in you. Amen. Don't allow any other explanation. It's not in the wine. It's not in the bottle. It's not in oil. It's in you. We saw it already. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, you are the temple of God. Ephesians 2. You learning something? Ephesians 2 verse 19. We're going to read verse 19 to 22, everybody. And then when you're done reading it, you now face your neighbor and read to your neighbor. Are we ready? Want to go? Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, in whom what? Grows into what? An holy temple in the Lord. In whom also you are builded together for what? An habitation of God through the Spirit. All right. Read it to your neighbor. You want them to understand something, yeah? When you are done, ask the person, do you believe? I heard no, I don't believe. Who's that? I'm kidding. What did the person say? Say, are you sure? He calls you an holy habitation by the Spirit. Say, are you sure that's you? Or I should face another person. Sis, bro, now you, should I face another person? Are you the one to come or we should expect another? Amen. Say, I'm a holy habitation unto the Lord. He lives in me. Amen. We sang that song earlier. He's living in me. Where I am is where he is. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you look into the mirror and let that sink in. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the temple of God. My motions today are the motions of the Spirit of God. My movements today are the movement of the Spirit of God. My hands are the hands of Jesus. How about that one? You know, you're about to pray for someone who is sick. You're about to lay hands. You just realize, actually, I'm the temple of God. These hands are the hands of Jesus. My motions are the motions of Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we are. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3. Moses is about to give you a gist to the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Can we read from verse 1 to 6 together? Everybody. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy more glory than Moses, as he builded the house, has more honor than the house. But he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of the things that are spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. Amen. He says we are Christ's house. Whose house are we? He's talking about Jesus. He said, we are his house. Where is God on the face of the earth today? Wherever believers are gathered. Wherever you see any believer in Christ, that's exactly where God is. Are you listening to me? So when you call him omnipresent, he's actually present where believers are present. So my God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's shut up. He's everywhere. Okay, is he in a fire? You see how you're everywhere, just got destroyed. Is he in a fire? Huh? He's in Azure Rock. Okay, we have a pastor there, so he should be there. I'm like that. Amen. I'm not a politician. No, so don't look at me anyhow. But God is not everywhere. He's only where his spirit is. And I've told you before, that a lot of some people say, God can talk to anybody. That even a madman can just come to you and say, that God can speak to anything. You watch too much movies. You watch too much movies and you read less Bible. That's your issue. God cannot speak through a madman. I'll say it again so that it can be clear. God can only speak from where his spirit is. I'll say it again. God can only speak from where his spirit is. If his spirit is absent, then God is not the one talking there. Can someone give you a good advice and it's not by the spirit? Yes. But don't say that that was God talking. And not all good advices are godly advices. Right? Not all good advices are godly advices. Jesus said, I'm going to die. Peter gave a good advice. You're not going to die. Don't stop saying that. I rebuke you. Jesus, word of faith. You're not going to die in your name. Word of faith. Jesus, ye, man, shwenwe, man. That's what Peter did. Man, shwenwe. Jesus. Next time you talk like that, what I'm going to do. Good advice from a good heart. You're not going to die. I rebuke it on your name. But that's not the godly advice. God's plan is for that man to die. Amen. David went to war. He said, I am going. He said, what will be done to the man that brings down this uncircumcised Philistine? What will be done to him? His brother, Eliab, said, David, I have always said you don't have brain. What are you? Do you think this is for babies? Do you think this is about tending sheep? Men are gathered. Men them, they talk. You they show face. Now go back home. Who did you leave the sheep with? Moses, David said, I have left with someone, a caretaker. Now go back and I'll take care. Now that's a good advice. Because if you have a teenager, probably you should not expose them to war. Right? Right? Which one of you will look at your last born? And you say your last born, you're going to face Goliath. Go is there waiting. Tell Egbon, let's go together. We can do this. Two is better than one. One is better than one. You will not allow your last born, right? You want to protect them. And that's what Eliab was doing. From a good heart. But that's not a godly advice. Hallelujah. So, God is only talking where his spirit is speaking from. So, when he said he's omnipresent and he's everywhere, not that he's inside one temple. Not that he's inside one oil. No. Not that he's inside the Atlantic Ocean. He's not there. He is where believers are. And so if you want him to be really, really omnipresent, we'll preach the gospel more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, whose house are we? Hebrews 9. You learning something? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. So he wants to give us the anatomy of the sanctuary that Moses built, Exodus 25, 8 to 9. Have you saw that already? Exodus 25, 8 to 9. Hebrews 9, verse 1. I'll read. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worthy sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant laid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of covenant. There's nothing that surprises me more than the fact that people still do this today. So you will look at this one, and you'll be telling the architect, holiest of all, gold. This one is gold. It's funny. It's funny. The golden censer. Verse 5. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing over the mercy seat. You don't have that one. Because you cannot buy that one in the market. You want to go to the market and say, Vera Kerubu. Of which we can now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, only the high priest will go there once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost dissignifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was what? A figure. That is, everything they did in that tabernacle was like an example. When I say EG, right? It's not even an example. It's not even a worthy example. When I say, I don't know if you're in your primary school, you did, I am a doctor in my country. You specifically did, I am a doctor. Let me see your hands. You did, I'm a doctor. Let me see your hands very well. How many of you are doctors now? Exactly. That is the figure. That you did the figure does not mean. Oh, you need, I'm a pilot. We don't even have any pilots in school in Nigeria. Pilot in my country. I recall they first gave me pastor. I said, I don't want. Sincerely. Because they took doctor away from me. They first gave me engineer. Then I said that one parent now came to fight for the child. That is the child wants to do engineer because he is an engineer. Because my own father no fight. So as my father no fight now, this now, you go and give me pastor. I changed it for, I didn't do anything. The pastor, I just don't come. I re-ask the pastor. I not show up. Don't mind me. I can be like that sometimes. I left home, but I did not get to school. You know, I went to take fruit. You know, there's a tree that you call fruit. By one river like that, chop fruit. But look, they not use another as pastor. But today I'm pastoring. Amen. So, it's a figure. He says, all those things that they did in that temple, in that sanctuary, is just a figure to show you that, see, there's nothing you can do that can be the holiest of all. Because God is not going to build things with hands. He's going to do it by His Spirit. So he said, it's a figure, verse 8. Verse 9, rather. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect. And it's even the priest that is going inside with all the offering is still not perfect. As pertains to the conscience, which stood only in meat and drinks, divers washes, carnal ordinances, opposed to them to the time of reformation. Verse 11, but Christ, say but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle. That's what we're talking about. He said, Christ, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this beauty, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Say, by a more perfect tabernacle. That word perfect there, when you see a better and a perfect in Hebrews, it means a more lasting and eternal. He's not saying, he's not comparing it. He's saying the temple they built was not eternal. The one Christ built, whose house are we? He said that's a perfect tabernacle. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5, he could tell you boldly that, see, if this body, this our present body is destroyed, he said we have a tabernacle, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. We are children of God. We are His sanctuary. We are the sanctuary. Amen. We are the church of the living God. So he said, I will be with you always. And we said, the only place where He can be with us always, I said, where will He be? In us, right? By His Spirit. The plan of Genesis, right? Where God will put heaven and earth in one place. In the beginning, heaven and earth together. Where there's no distance between Adam and God. Sin put the separation. Jesus brought us back to Him. Sin pulled the trigger. It has separated us from God. Nobody is righteous. Not one. God said, you're righteous. You're a holy nation. Amen. You're a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2. Let's get that. 1 Peter 2. Learn something? We read from verse 2 till verse 5 together. You ready? Want to go? It shall be that you have tasted the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, you have built up what? A spiritual house. A holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Amen. It says you also, you are a spiritual house. So never think you're ordinary. Never think that God has left you and you're just on your own. No. Every believer in Christ has the Spirit of God. In fact, there is nothing called you are born again if you don't have the Spirit of God. I know a lot of times people try to be humble. I call, some years ago I was teaching somewhere and someone said, I'm born again, but I don't have spirits. And I said, you have the Spirit of God. I said, in your mind, that's humility. No, that's stupidity. That's ignorance. In fact, Jesus calls it in John 3:5, he calls what we call being born again, he calls it except a man be born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. John chapter 3. You learning something? Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that is, that word and there is explaining it, that is of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, what we call being born again is actually being born of the Spirit. Romans 8. You have to know God's word enough for you to counter everything the devil throws at you. Romans 8. Can we verse 8 and 9 together? I'll wait for you. Want to go? So they then that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God... There's someone say, the Spirit of God does not dwell in me. Now read the next one. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. What makes you a Christian is actually the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are none of his. So the indwelling of the Spirit is not something you wait for. Now, when I got saved, not too long ago, like yesterday, when I got saved yesterday, we used to have, you wait for, there are like 5 classes. So when you first believe the gospel, after that, you now wait for a sanctification class. Because it's not believed that you are sanctified yet. You are still seeing some things. After that, you now wait for the Holy Ghost. The funny thing is that baptism was the last. By water. I used to wonder, is now that I now come back and say, really? If you tell me sanctification, I'll talk about maybe walking in the Spirit. I can wrap it around walking in the Spirit and all of that. But water is now the highest class. Really, just to enter and come back. Like, you understand? Now I've been baptized with water twice. So, you know my baptismal name? I will not tell you. Because it's not really a name. I chose it because of our pastor, Adeboye. And because I didn't want to die. So I heard Enoch did not die. So I just said, who did not die? Enoch. Maybe I will not die. Amen. I shout it to my name. Nah. Hallelujah. Where did I stop? Yeah. So, we have to wait for classes. And oftentimes when it asks us to speak, people will be like, say, speak by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost. The Lord says that. As you say, I just brought down and down. Open your eyes. First, open your eyes first. I said, don't expect anything. But what you're expecting is that something will just run through your spine. You just feel cold, then goosebumps, then you're shouting, labor of us out the way. I said, that's not going to happen. So I said, have I told you the entire drama now? It's not going to happen. Are you ready now? So open your eyes. So now I'm speaking in tongues. It's like this. The first time I spoke in tongues was in the restroom. Let me not glorify it. In the toilet. They taught us already how to speak in tongues and all that. I did not believe. I said, I don't want to sin against the Holy Ghost. And that's many years ago. I don't want to sin against the Holy Ghost. Then just leave me like this. Man, don't speak anything. But they gave me enough scriptures to know that the Spirit of God dwells in me. And so I was in the toilet and I took the notes. I was in the toilet because I didn't want anybody to see me. I took the notes and I began to look through it. The Spirit of God is in me. Whatever I speak now, you had better be the one speaking it. And I started speaking in tongues. Amen. And God knows how many days of tongues has gone since that time. Hallelujah. You are the Spirit of God. You know that, right? So if any man doesn't have the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Ephesians 1:13. Are you learning something? So this is theology. These are things that you can remind yourself of. Sometimes when the going gets tough, you go back to this and say, I have the Spirit of God. So I don't throw in the towel. I have the Spirit of God. He's at work mightily in me, producing his fruit. Producing what it talks about. Ephesians 1:13. Can we read that one together, loud and clear? In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, that is, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you have believed in that gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That makes sense? Say, I'm sealed. Say, I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30. Can we read that one together? Give on the Holy Spirit, huh? You are sealed till the day of redemption. That is, you are sealed with that Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Now let's read from verse 20 to 22 together. Everyone want to go? For all the promise of God in Christ are yes and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he who established you, with you in Christ, who has anointed us, is God. He has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our water, in our temples, in our bottles, in our bread. Where did he give us the Spirit? In our hearts. In our hearts. So we are that temple of the Lord. What everybody in the Old Testament looked forward to. We are that temple of the Lord. Amen. We are that holy building. Amen. Amen. I'll close with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Play for me, I suppose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So how many portions of the scriptures have we opened today? This is not even a teaching. We're looking at the things we have studied already. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is away from him. That's what Jesus accosts. It doesn't mean you are cursing Jesus. It means to separate. That's why Paul says, if anybody preaches under gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed means put him away from you. Let him be separated from you. So no man speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, no man speaking by the Holy Ghost, says Jesus is separate. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord. But by what? That means everyone who has believed the gospel, you said that by the Holy Ghost. So never take a day, a single minute in your entire life to doubt whether the Spirit of God is in you or not. No man can say Jesus is Lord. By saying Jesus is Lord, that means no man can give his life to Christ. No man, like what we call it, right? No man can accept the life of God. No man can believe the gospel except by the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, he's the one convincing the world, reproving the world of sin because they believe not. He's the one that got you saved. So when the moment you were saved, you actually had the Spirit of God. That moment you were saved, you actually had the Spirit of God. What can you now do by that Spirit? Verse 4. Verse 1 Corinthians 12, right? So it already tells you that no man that is speaking by the Holy Ghost calls Jesus separate, right? And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Then he now goes to you. There are diversities of gifts. But what? Same Holy Ghost. That is that Holy Ghost you received when you got born again. So I have the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost you receive when you got born again. He said, he has gifts. Say he has gifts. Who doesn't like gifts? Nobody. He has gifts. He has gifts. Say the deeds are plenty. How do they call it again these days? Say, upo, abi. Aha. The gifts are plenty. Say there are diversities. But the same Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administration of these gifts, but the same Lord. You get that now? There are diversities of gifts, same Spirit. There are differences in the way we minister this gift, the administration. But the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Which every man? Is every man in the world? Every man that already says Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. The manifestation of the Spirit. What is manifestation? Expression. Phaneru. Phanerusis, Phanoresis, or S-E-S actually. Phanerusis, the unveiling. What does it mean? You know, you can have something under your shirt. Right? Everybody's meant to come to school with their inter-house sport. Then you come with your school uniform. Right? And then the teacher is saying, I thought I asked everyone to come with their shirt, with their inter-house sport vest. Then you manifest your vest. So you pull your button and then say, oh, you wore it. That is manifestation. The unveiling, the disclosure, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to me. Amen. It's given to me. I thought you said that when I said it. This believer's meeting, you must learn how to dagger. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What's the English of dagger? Snatch. Uh-huh. You must know how, when God is giving things. Let me say this. Because of this meeting, some people's life will change forever. I'm saying it. It will take a new turn. And what you thought is difficult in serving the Lord will become easy. What you thought was a mountain before will become easy. Decisions that you are afraid to make will become easy. Because the Holy Ghost is about to work. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the manifestation of this Spirit is given to you to profit. Verse 8, he now mentions the gifts. Who doesn't like gifts? Everyone loves gifts. He said, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these gifts work by the same Spirit, given to every man as he desires. Don't be fooled to thinking that he's saying that some people have prophecy, why some people have healing. That would be false. Now some people have tongues, some people now have healing of the sick. No. Didn't Jesus already say this sign shall follow those that believe? And in the same sign, he said, they will heal the sick and they'll speak with tongues. So that means at least we know two of the gifts can work in one person. So you can't be saying one man has prophecy. I've seen people say, my own gift is to keep quiet. My own gift is to see vision. I only see, I don't talk. I just, what I see, I like. No. Severally as you desire. So if you desire tongues, you speak with tongues. If you desire to interpret your tongues, you interpret it. If you desire to prophesy, I'm going to explain those gifts one by one. Just short summary. Severally as you desire. See, I always explain like this. When you buy a house, or is it an house now? That's old English. But when you buy a house, and let's say you purchase this building, say 130 million. I'm very sure they will sell it for 130 million, right? You purchase this building. Do you go to each class or each room and say, am I the owner of this one? Eh? Will you enter a room and say, am I the owner of this room too? Eh? Or you will not go to the toilet. You say, I only bought the building. I bought the entire building. I didn't buy the toilet. No, right? Because the one who owns the building owns the rooms. The one who owns the building owns the room. The one who owns the pond owns the fishes. That's it. Diversities of gifts. One Spirit. So that means if I have the Spirit, I have the gift. I don't beg for one gift. I have it all. I have all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. They are at my disposal. And I am an effective minister of them. I function and I flow in all the night gifts. This afternoon to the evening, I'm an effective minister. The things I've not done before, I'll begin to do more efficiently, with ease, with clarity, with precision, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So he said he gave to one a word of wisdom. Verse 8. What is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is the gift of the Spirit that knows things supernaturally about the future. That's not prophecy. That's word of wisdom. Word of wisdom knows things that are to happen. Knows things about and can give solution. Can give insight to events that have not yet happened. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So I go to you and I say, let those kim that have to yet, upon prefele at is a couple, a doja and the bans let him up for I go put for this card. Let's do most of the other grand matters. It's a fast. I brought this. I'm very curious. Next week, you know, there's someone who is you're going to meet someone who has a terminal illness, and it's going to be a shock to you. Kedosi man brafiri the math of sikila bash. That taste. Prago to see it, but that's not the time to cower down. That was not the time to be sober. It will be the time to yield to God's Spirit more. For there are yet things that you are going to do actually. Things that you're going to do that will better that life. And things that you're going to do that will change that man's life. Say, man, what I just do now, that's a word of wisdom. I didn't do a figure. It's going to happen. That's a word of wisdom. I just told you something that will happen in the future. It has not yet happened, but it's going to happen. I would like, whoever that is, just message me once it happens. Very likely next Wednesday. Just let me know. So gave to one words of wisdom. Can you see that as I desired, I'm just seeing word of wisdom. I said, I'm going to desire, I'm going to walk in it. I actually can walk in it at any time. Amen. They are mine. These are my things. The things of the Spirit are my things. You know, when people say, I will show you my true color. This is my color. I'll show you my true color. I want to use the cyclone jebe. Amen. That's my color. I want to use the cyclone. I want to raise the dead. I want to speak with tongues. I want to sing a psalm. That's my color. I want to show my color. These are my things. You get. That's how we rule. This is how we rule. We rule by tongues. We rule by words of wisdom. You know, in the world, people are dancing and they are looking at dance skills. Well, that one doesn't concern me. This is how I rule. You need a word of wisdom. Come to me. Amen. You need healing. Obey by healing. In the words of Broadway. Obey by healing. Come to me. Amen. So give to one word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What is a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is that gift of the Spirit that helps you to know things supernaturally about the past and the present. To know things supernaturally about the past and the present. Supernaturally. The word of wisdom knows things about the future. When Agabus told Paul, he said, I see a man going bound in chains to Jerusalem. He said, you are going to go bound and tied. He was telling Paul what will happen to him on the missionary journey. That's a word of wisdom. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Jesus telling Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. That's a word of wisdom with precision. 3 times. He didn't stop at you will deny me. He said 3 times. That's a word of wisdom. Amen. Amen. That's what temple of God do. That's what we do. Amen. We yield to the word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is that one that tells you about the past and the present. Jesus met that woman by the well in John chapter 4. And he said, give me water to drink. The woman said, you are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Why should I give you water? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. We don't roll. Jesus said, if you know the person that is asking you for water, you will give him water. And because I will give you water that you will never thirst again. The woman said, come, wait. Relax. There's a water that I will not come and fetch again. Give me this water. I pray you. Then he said, where's your husband? Where's your husband? The man said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, yeah, that's true. Because you had 5 husbands. And you have 1 now. Maybe you are planning that I won't give you breakfast. But you have 1 now. But it's not your husband. I make 6. John 4:18. He said, you have had 5 husbands. And the one with you now is not even your husband. The woman said, are you a prophet? Because what you just did is a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge, rather. To know things that no man ever told you. Supernatural. Something that no man ever told you. No man ever showed you. You didn't get a scope from somewhere. That's a word of knowledge. I have a word of knowledge. I have a word of knowledge. This afternoon, I am effective. You believe that? See, if you have never operated in it before, if you have never functioned in it before, calm down. There's always the first time. I always tell the story of the first time I laid my hands on the sick. I've always been scared of laying my hands on the sick. But the first one was a lump in the breast. An obvious lump. And I just finished teaching that night. I just finished teaching on the word of faith. I just finished in Mark 11:23. You say to this mountain, be moved and be cast in the sea. And you have what you say. And the pastor came to me around UMC. Okay, I know you about it. And the pastor came to me and said, we have someone that in fact, and I had to heal the sick. But thank God I did it that night. Hallelujah. So heal thousands after that time. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid of first times. You know what you should be afraid of? Not yielding to the Spirit of God. It's only when you keep quiet that you never function in it. As long as you don't keep quiet, the things of the Spirit are yours. They are your things. They are your commonplace. They are within your reach. So he gave unto one a word of wisdom. He gave unto one a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What's the next one? Another, faith by the Spirit. What is the gift of faith? The gift of the faith is the one that receives miracles. It's a power gift. It receives miracles on behalf of another. This one is one of the gifts of the Spirit that a lot of people don't understand. And they just look at what is the gift of faith. Let me explain the gift of faith to you. In Acts chapter 3. Is it 3? When Peter and John went to the temple. In Acts 3. Peter and John went to the temple. You know, they wanted to go and pray at the hour of prayer. And when they got there, at the gate, they met a man who has been lame from birth. And he has been there. Very likely, Jesus even had seen him there. And the man was begging for money. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold I don't have. Shimbai, I don't have. But you know what I have? I have healing. How about you recognizing that right now, this afternoon? I have something. I have a tongue. I have something. I have healing. I have something. I have a word of knowledge. I have a word of wisdom. I have something. The Spirit of God is working in me. I'm the temple of God. I have something to give. Every time. So Peter looked at him. He said, I have something. Rise up on your feet and walk. But the man did not walk. So what did Peter do? Peter reached out and took him up. That is the gift of faith, where you receive a miracle on behalf of another. It's your miracle, but I'm going to do it for you. Amen. Sometimes, but oftentimes it comes with instructions. I've taught this before. We have a teaching on it. The gift of faith. It comes with instruction. You're talking to someone. Imagine you are talking to someone who is blind. You know, if I wanted to heal the person, what I would just do is, in the name of Jesus, these eyes are seen. But in the gift of faith, I'm not going to tell you these eyes are seen. I'm going to ask you, what color is this? Because what I'm expecting is that I have received the miracle on your behalf. So it's a power gift. It combines the miraculous with instructions. It combines the miraculous with activity. There's something done. There's something done. There's something said. How you call it? Was it last year? Two years ago? I prayed with someone just after the Sunday service. I told him, I said, you go back to the hospital and go and check up. I've always told you that example before. I did last year. Deborah, was it last year? Last year. She's not the one. I just said him now. Was that disciple? I told him, so go back to the hospital and go and check. You see, that is the gift of faith. At that moment, nothing might have happened. But you see, when you go to the hospital, they will tell you are healed. Because the gift of faith receives the miracles on the grounds of that instruction. So you are talking to a deaf man and he said, amen? And the deaf man will say, amen. What has just happened? The gift of faith. Hallelujah. We have a more awesome teaching on it. The gift of faith. I have the gift of faith. Amen. I have the gift of faith. Which other gift? The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. I want to beseech you this afternoon that there's nobody here that should live with any sickness in their body. The gift of healing. We have the gift of healing. What is the gift of healing? The gift of healing is the gift of the Spirit that supplies supernatural energy to heal and to restore. I have the gift of healing. What's the song? Sing with me. I want to sing this song. To heal and to restore. I receive here and now. Good in your. I see blind eyes open.
I see blind eyes open. Deaf ears unstopped.
The lame are walking.
The lame are walking. The withered are now restored. I've spoken in your heart. The power of God is here. I've spoken in your word. Your paths are walking me. And to watch me. To heal and to restore. I receive here and now.
And to restore, come on.
To heal and to restore.
I receive
now.
I've spoken in your word.
I've spoken in your word.
If your word says I can do it. To heal and to restore. To heal and to restore. I receive
here now. I've
spoken in your word.
I've spoken in.
So what does healing do? Healing supplies supernatural energy. Supernatural energy. So the one who was weak will now become strong. The withered hand will now be restored. That's what healing does. So I have the gift of healing. My hands are the healing hands. My hands are healing hands. These hands are healing hands. When I say heal, it heals. When I say go, it goes. In the name of Jesus. That's the sign that follows all believers, not pastors. The sign shall follow everyone who believes. Their hands are healing hands. That's what he said. Let them skin man that he could frat us. Pina Kadasht. Lumbra from the Kiba. Sunta Levina. Fredash Tandis. Comble Fat. He the Patos. A prepidash. Send the bomb. Keep the skim. Let us. Keep the bribo. Zambra Fadi Adakalas. Thank the Ujambra Patonsa. These hands are healing as Jesus. Alright. To another, the gift of working of miracles. What's working of miracles? Working of miracles also supplies power. But in this instance, it disobeys natural rules. When Jesus walked on water, that's a miracle. When 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes fed 5,000 people and 12 baskets still remain, that's a miracle. Amen. So we have miracles. Miracles rolling upon miracles. We have miracles rolling upon miracles this afternoon and this evening. Amen. We have miracles. We have miracles. There are miracles for me. There are miracles for me. There are miracles for me
each day.
There are miracles for me.
There are miracles for me.
Sing it for yourself.
There are miracles for me.
There are miracles for me.
There are miracles for me each day.
Sing miracles.
Miracles. I live in miracles. He's the light that shines all through my life. Miracles. I live in miracles. He's the light that shines through and through. The power of God is walking through. There are miracles for me. There are miracles for me. There are miracles for me.
So I have miracles. I have miracles. I have miracles. This afternoon, this evening, throughout this meeting, there will be more miracles. We will see it. By Sunday, we would have recorded miracles. Amen. Whether for people here or for people at home, there will be miracles. To another, prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is the gift of the Spirit that speaks by inspiration. It speaks by inspiration. So they are unthought words. They are not words you thought about before. They are not words you conjured somewhere. They are words that are on the spot that are given to you by the Spirit. It's prophecy. What they do is that they encourage, they comfort, they instruct, they teach. That's prophecy. So I have prophecy. I can prophesy. I have utterance. To another, the sermon of spirit. What's the sermon of spirit? The sermon of spirit is the gift of the Holy Ghost that recognizes spiritual personnel, spiritual events. What do I mean? When you see a vision, that's the sign of spirit. Someone asked me one time, said there's no vision in the gift of the spirit. That's the sign of spirit. Amen. When you have trances, when you have events and presence, that's the sounding of spirit. I can see. I can see. You know, in Acts 2, Bible says they appeared to them. That means they saw it. Cloven tongues as of fire. Everyone saw something. This afternoon, there are sight and sounds by the Spirit of God. There are sight and sounds. For me, there are sight and sounds. The sounding of spirit. I can see. My faculties are sharpened to see and to know, to hear and to do. My faculties are sharpened. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So we can speak with tongues and we can interpret our tongues. We have that one this afternoon, right? What's that, Prophet Sam? I have utterance. I have words to speak. I'm full of power. I have prophecy. I have utterance. I have words to speak. I'm full of power. I have prophecy. I have seen. I have seen eyes.
I have seen.
I'm speaking now, right now, right
here. I have seen eyes.
I have seen eyes.
I have hearing ears.
I have hearing ears.
I have speaking mouths.
I have speaking mouth, right,
right now,
right here.
The other one, I have a son.
I have something to give, the gift of God, how within my reach. They are my common place. I prophesy, I edify. I have something to give, I'll be blessed, be blessed in the day.
I have a son.
I have a son. I have a tongue.
I have something to give.
I have something to give.
The things of God are within my reach.
They are my common place. I prophesy. I edify. I have something to give. God will be blessed. Be a blessing today.
So there are tongues and definition of tongues. He says, all these gifts work the Spirit. He's at work in me this afternoon. You know, you already, you sang it now. He said, you have something to give. So Paul now goes in chapter 14. Verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Are you there? Want to go, everybody? How is it then, brethren? When you come together, Every one of you has what? So I have a psalm. What is a psalm? A psalm is what we just sang now. When you sing by the Spirit, oftentimes it will come by, you sing by the Spirit. That means, you know the way you speak in tongues, right? You add melody to your tongues. Singing by the Spirit, it's not rocket science. That makes sense? It's the way you speak in tongues. Then you add melody to it. The melody is not supernatural. The melody is from the earth. So you go, how about that? Then you now give an interpretation to that song by the Spirit. You have a psalm. Have psalm. Say, every one of you, when you come together, are we together? When we come together, everyone has a psalm. Everyone has a doctrine. That's an instruction. That's a prophecy. Everyone has a tongue. Everyone has a revelation. You have interpretation. So it's a lie when you say, there's nothing to say. You're lying. God's word says, when we come together, everyone has something. So why are you telling us you don't have something? Why are you lying? Say, I have something. I have something. I have something. And this afternoon, the Spirit of God is at work in me. As I desire, I manifest the things of the Spirit. I am effective. I'm effective. In the flow of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Through my hands, healings will happen. Through my mouth, comfort will come. Revelation will come. I will know things that no man told me. I will seek things that no man showed me. This afternoon. Now, can we put that to work? Can you speak in tongues? Let's start with tongues. I have a psalm, have a tongue, something to give, gift of God. I have something to give.
I